today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I got a modern TV. Okay, the one out in my living room is a modern. Okay. I got all modern TVs. Okay. I love TVs.
Pony, do you concur?
As a matter of fact, Donald Trump said you have the best, biggest TV.
I have a very successful television. It's a wonderful television, Oscar. It's very, very big, very powerful,
so,
very strong.
This display, the two displays that we have in here, Mr. President.
You know what she won?
What?
$36,000. You know, that's a $36,000. And that you might say, oh, that's a lot of money. That's all they give. No,
that's
the top
price.
There are 50 different
things. Like it's, she won a Prius.
Yeah.
That's it. So anyway.
You're stinking Prius.
I built a Prius yesterday. I was like, that's pretty expensive for a Prius. Yeah.
You built a Prius?
Yeah.
You are so broken.
Yeah, he was fast.
He was really
fast. I raced him one time.
But you were in a car, right?
No, do you remember when I raced him?
No,
I raced him.
No.
I raced him outside of WJFK.
I do remember that.
I raced him down that sidewalk where we had all our races. I raced him right down that sidewalk. And he beat me by a little bit, but not a lot. I was, end-to-end, I was very fast. This is many, many years ago.
This was the last episode of the show.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thinking about my mom today on as we tape our show on Good Friday, who my mom, who was very devout Catholic, I would always say, and you know, at a certain point every Good Friday, it'll get really dark and cloudy. And she loved that. That was her.
Yeah.
That was her little her little moment. And you know, then she said, and if you laugh at me again, I'm going to hit you with the spoon, a wooden spoon. Because when I was a kid, you had Pedro Moreno. I had the wooden spoon where my mom would chase me through the kitchen.
Oh,
while my father was on another business.
I was just getting hit with a hand.
Got hit with the hand?
Yeah. My dad
spanked me. You didn't get hit.
When I was little.
Who
would hit you, your mom or your dad?
Oh, they'd take turns. No, it was my dad.
It was your dad who would give you a spanking?
I remember it,
Like for talking too much?
I doubt it was that. That was, you know, that was sort of a sticking point, but not a punishable offense.
And that's when you were older.
That was, yeah. I don't know why I got spanked. I think it was like 3 or 4 years old. I think I was smoking.
Really?
No. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't even remember.
Get a real answer out of it.
I don't know. You can't.
He'd be the worst deposition in the world. Mr. Spiewak, why were you spanked? Smoking. Just kidding, Your Honor.
My deposition would be like in the form of Hollywood Squares. It would be the joke answer, then the real answer.
Yeah, I got, when I was caught smoking, I had, my dad went to something for Aetna. He was an insurance guy, marketing department of an insurance company. And I rail against insurance companies. That's such a strange thing. My dad brought home cigars, and I got into his cigars, and he said, I was sitting there and running around the house, and I had one like in the den. And he said, what are you doing with that? And he said, do you want to really try one? And he took me down to the pond in back of our house, which was an old reservoir that had blown out in the 38 hurricane, I believe it was. Hmm. And we sat on a rock, and he lit up the cigar. And he said, nope, smoke the whole thing. And I was so sick after I got done, and I didn't smoke after that.
Whoa.
It's torture.
That's a classic like 1930s parenting technique.
I know.
So
and then
great.
Child services came to the house. No, it was, it was interesting.
To it's this just day, like I know that you would eventually come back on the cigar wagon later on. I still can't stand the smell of a cigar. Oh, it's murder to me.
Friend of mine told me yesterday, an older gentleman that I hang out with, a good friend of mine, said that his son, when he was young, he took him out on a golf course, and his son made a bad shot and threw the golf club down on the ground. And he said, put it in your bag. We're going home. We're going home, and we're going to put the golf clubs in the closet for a week. And then we're going to come back out. If you do it again, we're going to put the clubs in the closet and do it for 2 weeks. And he never did it again. Old-fashioned, old-school parenting.
It works.
My mom had like a ladro that were from Franklin Mint or some one of these statues, right? That you would buy and you would not want to break, and we would break them.
Was it a religious figurine?
No.
You're thinking candle, aren't you?
I'm thinking, you know, because Catholicism is based on statuary. My grandmother had the Infant of Prague in her bedroom.
Yeah, we have the Virgen de Guadalupe made out of ivory tusks. on the
Catholicism
top
isn't based on statuary.
Well, it has a lot of it involved.
Every religion has statuary.
I think if you were to rank them, I think the Catholics would come out way ahead on statues.
On statues?
Yeah. For example, another statue my grandmother had, St. Francis of Assisi in the Rose Garden. You don't see
patron saint of animals.
Yes. Yeah, pizza, exactly.
Right?
I don't think pizza.
Assisi's pizza.
But it is.
You know what? We're surrounded by idiots.
It's just overwhelming sometimes. The idiot nation.
What drives him to hit a button and say that? That's what he's going
CC's
to pipe in
pizza.
With. I know.
CC's pizza.
Yeah, it's all in the cliff pizza. Notes. Thanks, buddy.
By the way, they went out of business down here across the street.
Oh no!
Really?
Yeah, they put in a Mexican joint in there.
Is that? I just heard a boo in the background.
What? Ethan, why were you weigh in on that? What was it?
I just said, yeah, like that's a good choice.
Can I tell you?
Am I losing control of the show already?
This is classic Ethan. So Ethan yesterday gets an opportunity of a lifetime. Our friend Clinton Yates from ESPN.
Yes.
He comes in to Podcast Village, and they're doing a 3-hour radio broadcast from Studio A. Mm-hmm. We made it happen. They connect to Bristol. They're going to the world from here. And
his voice is being heard, Mike, by the world.
I say, Ethan, do you want to come and sit next to Rob Ford and run the board on this end for Bristol, Connecticut, ESPN? So he comes in, he's Snapchatting, he's taking pictures, he's super excited. And during that time, he's got a headset on. And at a certain point, because I went out to dinner with Clinton afterwards, he's like, I think Ethan's learning a lot. We also taught him how to turn off his microphone.
Oh, really?
Know when to talk and when not to talk.
Exactly. Wow.
Ethan, how are you finding your experience here at you seem to be making a name for yourself at Podcast Village.
He's putting on the headset now. Go ahead, put it on properly.
Put it on properly. Like you're a family.
There you go.
You're working.
I'm taking the opportunities that I can, and I was trying to have a little fun with Clinton because he's a good friend of mine, but, you know, might have pushed the boundaries a little bit too much. But I did get a good recall on the last thing I said. They were like, oh, you said something good. Now you can turn your headset back on.
Oh, good. Are you a sports fan?
A sports fan? I'm a sports enthusiast.
You're a sports enthusiast. What particular sport, floats your boat?
I cover baseball, basketball, field hockey, football, soccer.
His dream field job hockey. Would be an ESPN.
Let's talk field job. Hockey.
Let's talk field hockey.
What's the hot player in field hockey right now?
There's not a league, so.
What college has the best field hockey program?
Well, I want to say.
It's a woman's sport, primarily.
Yeah, it is. So. Maddie's clapping. So the games I covered, it was like Ohio was really good for that because that's what I covered when I was in school.
Ohio State?
No, Ohio University, my school.
Okay.
So they were really good, but they had a brand new coach, so they were like middle of the pack seeded.
The coach was named Tony Bennett.
It was a woman coach.
Hey, how you doing, girls? Take your little mallets and bash that ball down the field. Tell you right now,
who is your sports hero, Ethan?
Stuart Scott.
Stuart Scott, the ESPN broadcaster.
Yeah, were you talking about that? Or
I meant somebody who played, not Stuart Scott. Why is Stuart Scott? He's no longer with us.
He's no longer with us.
Okay, we had some contact with Stuart Scott that was not altogether pleasant, but that's a different story. And you don't speak ill of those that are no longer with us. But as far as a player, who is a sports icon that you revere?
Jackie Robinson.
Oh, that's a good answer. Yeah. That's
who's
a good
your favorite
answer.
Baseball team, Ethan?
Yankees.
Oh, no. All right, we got to move on now. Thank you very much.
I'm also a Nationals fan, but my dad's from New York. Don't kill me.
Okay, all right, the Yankee. Who's your favorite Yankee?
Currently?
Of all time.
Derek Jeter.
Ah, well, then we agree on that one. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'll never forget, I went to Fenway to see my beloved Red Sox play the Yankees, and I will never forget my Derek Jeter memory. Derek Jeter is down there talking to a kid with a Nomar Garciaparra shirt on, and he's having a conversation. Kid looked to be 9 or 10 years old, just chatting with him like there's no tomorrow, just having way in the, because I used to get super early to the games. I'd get there to watch batting practice, and I'll never forget how impressed I was with Derek Jeter talking to this kid just matter-of-factly. I thought he was such a class act to do that. And then, you know, his playing career. I think you picked the right Yankee. Who's your least favorite Yankee? Because God knows there are a lot of enemies.
I can't. I want to say somebody.
Just
but,
say it.
Okay. A-Rod probably is my least favorite. Just because.
Good choice. Good choice. Good choice
just
there.
Because he's not.
Cheater.
Yes, he's a cheater, but also he's cheater in the game, cheater outside of life.
Wow. Oh, snap.
Yeah, but all right, would you like to know my? Would you like to ask me the same questions about my Red Sox?
I was just about to.
Oh, it's you'll guess the my favorite Red Sox of all time. I mean, there's not even a
Babe Boggs,
Ron Say,
David Ortiz. David Ortiz, my favorite of all time. Will always be.
Good choice.
Everything about him, I adore. And would you like to know my least favorite Red Sox player? The entire 1986 team.
It's a tie.
Thank you very much. Yes, every last one of those bastards. Thank you. And my least favorite Yankee is Bucky Dent, or as we refer to him in Boston, Bucky F-ing Dent.
Okay,
for hitting that.
I can appreciate that.
That's it. Now, okay. So, if you were to rank the sports, Ethan, because I love talking about sports, and I'll use any excuse to talk about sports. You know, and being an African American, let me ask you what your impressions were of Tiger Woods and one of the what I would describe as the greatest comeback in modern sports history.
I agree that Michael Jordan even gave him praise and said that him coming back from baseball was not the biggest comeback, but that Tiger Woods' comeback after all of his injuries is also is the biggest comeback of his career
of all time.
Yeah.
I can agree with that. There's some speculations for what Tiger Woods did in his past, and I'm going to leave those to the wayside as an African-American male and celebrate his accomplishments rather than deteriorate his lifestyle.
Wow.
All right. I understand what you're talking about. And I, you know what? I also think when you, and if I can say one word about Tiger, and we didn't talk, Tiger behaved badly. There's no one can make any excuse.
No one's whitewashing that.
For what Tiger did.
Right.
I am of the school, and you can send me the emails if you wish. I am of the thought that Tiger paid dearly for those transgressions, and they were splashed on the newspapers for everyone to see. Was the would I have maybe chilled on the volume a little bit? Yeah, well, probably. And it was not good behavior. And everything I've read about Tiger since then has indicated that he has done some work to change his life. You never know what happens in somebody's personal life. We could be wrong. Lord knows we've gotten burned in the past by revering Tiger. But because of the nature of that public embarrassment and that public failure, and because of the physical nature of what he went through with the rehab and the back being fused, it's just, to me, spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. And I had tears in my eyes when he was hugging his son, and they did the edit with hugging his father earlier. It was the perfect sports story. And get ready for a great year for my favorite sport, because it's going to be incredible. All right, so next to baseball, what would football be next on the hit parade?
I can't support the NFL right now.
Okay,
let's be honest.
Because the whole thing. Okay, yeah, I get it.
Everything
I don't blame
going
you.
On with that, I cannot support the NFL. NBA is another no for me.
Oh, wow.
So why is that?
That's just because I feel like a lot of African American players get a rap for having a platform and trying to use it in the correct manner that they should be, and they're not actually allowed to speak out on certain topics that, as a regular human being, you would have an impact on that. But I actually can't say, I think the better sports aspect is the NCAA, but I can't fully get behind them because of how they treat their players.
You're at a crossroads.
I am at a crossroads.
Yes.
So baseball, pretty much it for you right now.
Baseball is my go-to since I was 3 years old.
Man.
Okay, that's good. All right, we'll talk baseball sometime again. That was that's a new segment that we will debut on the Mike O'Mara Show, A Few Minutes with Ethan.
Yes.
I like, there's something about Ethan's serious mindedness that I truly love.
Yeah.
Because I was starting to get that way when I was his age. And you know, I still do it. And speaking of that, on Political Persuasions this week, we break down the Mueller report. And let me give a plug to Political Persuasions. When we do that, I think we give it a take. Kind of an everyman take on it.
Yeah.
I think we react to it without, it's not super deluxe wonky, but it gives you a little perspective. And I think we, I'm a dumb guy, so I dumb it down for myself. And I think I dumb it down for our listeners. So if you're curious about that, we have another one of those famous screaming matches, though. Chris Freitz does push my buttons. Yes, sir.
I think my favorite part of the screaming match is when it concludes and you just look at Chris and he's smiling and laughing because he got his way. Today, like a toddler.
At one particular point, I said, please don't talk. I want to make my point. And then I stop talking and he's silent.
Crickets.
And then he looks at me like a toddler and says, well, you told me not to talk. With that smarmy smirk on his face, I want to jump through the television monitor and kill him is what I want to do. That's for sure. Well, Ethan, that was fun. And, you know, although you root for the evil empire of sports franchises, the evil New York Yankees, it's a bad year for the Boston Red Sox. The fans down here that I talk to are talking about the Red Sox aren't going to repeat. They're not going to come close. Things are bad in Red Sox Nation right now. So it's
You had an early prediction of another World Series victory.
Thanks for reminding me, Rob. I sincerely appreciate that. Now we can start the show, and thanks to you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Moses, this is the Lord thy God commanding you to obey my law. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, I hear you. A deaf man could hear you.
What?
Nothing, Gornish, forget it. Oh, Lord, what would you have me do for you?
I shall give you my laws, and you shall take them unto the people.
Yes, Lord!
Oh, hear me! All pay heed! The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15. Wait. 10 commandments for all to obey.
Before this night is over, one of you shall betray me 3 times.
No.
Master, how can you feel that anyone here would betray you? You who we would follow even unto our death.
Does everybody want soup?
Please, we must talk. This may be our last supper.
Hey, it's my first order. Oh, look, one little question, I'll let you all go. Are you all together, or is it separate checks?
Please, go away! Go away!
All right, okay.
But one who sits amongst us has already betrayed me this night. Who?
Who?
Who can it be?
Judas! Do you want a beverage?
No! Leave us alone!
Go, go, go!
You're right. Jesus.
Yes.
What?
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 Yes.
Jesus.
What?
Yes.
What?
You said what?
What?
Nothing.
Where's your Messiah now? Yeah, where's your Moses now, King? Let my people go now. Yeah.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Rob Spiewak's little Good Friday tribute, Easter weekend.
Yes, have a great holiday.
Oh, that hurts. I got to stop. My face hurts. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This is a wonderful show. We're happy to have you with
Thank
us.
You.
I got totally sidelined by his. That's history of the world, right?
Yes, it is.
I don't think I've ever sat down and watched the whole thing. I don't think I've ever listened to the whole thing.
It has
a comedy album or a movie?
No, it's a movie.
I got to watch that. That
parts of it excel. There are parts that sort of lull, but there are parts that are really... You'll love the opening part with cavemen. They're great.
Is Dom DeLuise in it as Caesar?
Yes, he's the emperor.
He's the emperor.
Yeah, okay. And we have Madeline Kahn. A lot of his good players are in there. Yeah.
I'm going to watch it. We're live from the Podcast Village Studios. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are so glad to have you with us. If you're a first-timer, please just let us bathe in our fun.
Yes.
Just hop in the comedy bathtub and bathe in our fun. Don't forget your pits. For our long-timers, thank you for the support from Beijing, China, to Mountaintop, Pennsylvania, from Baltimore, Maryland, to Playa del Rey, California, from Houston, Texas, to Malacca City, Malaysia. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by the TMOS Bonus Packages. Time for another commercial for your dog.
Yes.
So please bring your pup closer to the speaker. You asked for it. You get it right now, okay?
Hello. Hey, hello. Hello, good dog. Who's your good doggy? Who's your good doggy? Is it you? Yes, you're a good dog. Yes, you're a good doggy. Yes, you are. Oh, yes, 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 you are a good boy. Good boy is a good boy. Now sit. Sit. You want to go for a walk? Do you want to go for a walk? You want to go for a ride in a car? Is it your boy you'll go for a ride in a car? Yeah, yeah. Good doggy wants a treat. You want a treat? You want a little treat? Got a little treat, yeah.
I think Frankie might be at the door. Well, sadly, I can't give you a bone.
Wow, that is sad.
Swerve.
But you can get a bone us, like the Bone Us Show. You see, canine,
the bonus show's an extra episode of Tio Moise that you can grab every week. It's a good boy. It's a good boy. Carry it around in your mouth. Then shake it like a figure eight.
Oh.
Remember, the future of our show depends on it. Each bonus show lasts about 60 minutes. That's 7 hours to you and me. So please, dog time.
Yes.
So please buy our thing. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com and click the bonus. Pay attention. Good boy. Stop licking your balls.
Hey.
You get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. Listen every week, then bury it in the backyard. Thank you. Thank you very much. There you go. You asked for more dogs. I requested a dog promo, and we got one. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Okay, I've been trying to get to this all week long. I want to talk about James Holzhauer, the
Jeopardy guy,
Terminator on Jeopardy. I think it's like $760,000, some ridiculous amount of money now, as he's gone 11, 12 days.
And his individual wins are so big that he's going to hit, if he continues, he will hit the record faster than that previous guy, Ken Jennings.
Because
that guy.
Yeah, he's scoring twice as much on average every day.
I saw that. What was that? $130,000? What was his tote 2 days ago?
I think $131,000. Yeah. One day ring. And he goes
record,
all in. Listen, there's a lot of speculation about this guy. I know I speculated about him. Carlos said he looked like he eats flesh. Freak. I will say this. There's a creepy factor. I've gone beyond the creepy factor. There's a smarminess to him. And I have no evidence whatsoever of this, but I might smell a little bit of a rat.
In what way?
A cheese-eating rat. In the way that it's just, for example, last night he tells a story about how his grandmother from Japan came over, did not speak English, excuse me. Wait just a second. Thank you very much.
Mm.
I didn't eat breakfast. So anyway.
Now I smell a rat.
His mother comes over from Japan, doesn't speak English, and watch Jeopardy with him, and just didn't even understand it, but just sat there and watched it with him, and that's how he grew up with it. And I said, that's such a sweet story. And Carla in the back of the room says, yeah, it's a little too sweet.
Oh!
And then I started thinking, I had made noise about the games are a little too perfect. The misses are a little too consistent. The whole thing, I am saying once again that I don't have any evidence that there would be some sort of scandal.
Like allegations.
But you know what? You are talking about a television program. You are talking about, I'm not going to accuse anybody
of
anything.
Well, let me introduce one more factor.
If anything came up, I might not be surprised.
The man is, by trade, a professional gambler. And that's not necessarily a trade that comes with a reputation of being squeaky clean, perhaps. If they were to go to somebody...
What does the professional gambler try to do? What do all gamblers look for?
Game the system.
An edge.
Right, exactly.
And how to beat the system, as Oscar said.
Yep. Pass the buffet.
So what?
A free buffet pass.
Thank you. Yes. Good buffets nice. Out
like,
in
like,
Vegas.
Like a comp.
What if this player just started putting on crazy amount of weight? And it's because Jeopardy is giving him a free access to the Johnny Gilbert buffet backstage at the Sony Telepictures studio.
these lambs that come into the studio, these two contestants every night that just are slaughtered by this guy. I just wonder sometimes his depth of knowledge. And here's where I get a little suspicious. He's a younger guy. I'm not sure how young, but he's not an old guy. He's a married guy. He's not a kid. He's not an old man.
And he seems every to me about then, 30. That's the age he looks to
That's
me.
Probably close. That's probably close. And every now and then he will get an answer that would probably be a problematic, that's a non-literary, non-biblical,
right,
non-reading answer, but just kind of a pop culture from my day. Now, and Rob Spiewak does it, so I know it's possible, but it seems to me that just a little unusual. So okay. I am not accusing anybody of anything on this Jeopardy. But if something were to go down,
right,
I wanted to say this publicly on the Mike O'Mara show
on
so
record.
That I could get credit. If anything hits on this guy and I go, I knew it.
Aha!
That's why.
Let me
so
add,
I'm saying it today. Yes.
Let me add this. The gentleman does look like your second tier villain from... would say a late 90s action film.
I see.
Like that's
he does.
Like that's so it's hard like, to not
he'd
see
be
him.
Up against Steven Seagal.
But he would be like the second guy in charge. He'd be like a lieutenant
number two
in Marked for Death.
Okay.
That's what it would be. Yeah. Like
by the way, I think when you mention Steven Seagal films, you do shortchange some of the villains in Steven Seagal movies.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones was a villain.
Yes, that's true.
And Steven Seagal, and he was spectacular. Yes,
and who could forget the line, take that to the bank, the blood bank. Dun, 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 dun.
That's some good script writing.
So, who's a good boy?
Take it to the
also,
bank.
Also, have bank. You really ever, maybe you've talked about this before, maybe you and Don had it in the past, but the way that he runs, I used to try to run like that because I thought it made you run faster as a little kid. Because if you ever look back at a Steven Seagal movie, he doesn't run with like a full like motion.
He doesn't do a Tom Cruise run.
No, he does hands to the side.
Hands
to the
side. You know who ran
hands
like that?
To the side.
You know
short burst, quick edit.
Yeah.
He didn't. Yeah. You know, Cruise. You know, Cruise could do a one shot. You know, where he runs down Fifth Avenue. You know, for, in Mission Impossible for like an hour when he's 50.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, look at that guy. Cruise loves to run.
Yeah.
I think Cruise loves running more than anything in his movies. Go back and look at every action movie Tom Cruise has ever been in. You will get a
man's
scene
in
where
shape.
He is running.
Well, he's running away so you can't see his middle tooth.
What's the one where he played a bad guy? Collateral. Oh,
yes.
I like that movie. That's a good movie. Evil, evil, evil. What were you going to say, Ron?
I was going to say one of the fastest humans that I've ever known as a personal friend was Charlie Broyhill. He ran like that with his hands.
Really?
Like, yeah, he was. And I saw him once. He had to chase a commuter bus at an airport that we left a bag on, and he was off like a pistol shot.
Yeah, he was fast.
He was really
I raced him one time.
But you were in a car, right?
No, do you remember when I raced him?
No,
I raced him.
No.
I raced him outside of WJFK.
I do remember that.
I raced him down
that.
That sidewalk where we had all our races. I raced him right down that sidewalk. And he beat me by a little bit, but not a lot. I was end-to-end, I was very fast. This is many, many years ago. many
this
years
This was the
ago.
Last episode of the show.
Yeah. I can actually, even in a seated position, I can, because he kept his hands really kind of like almost like this robot motion. And I had a different style that actually helped me gain speed
Which
with my
was?
Hands. Would you like, I go like this.
Don't hurt me.
Fire!
So very the other line and there is actually a Reddit thread on this, Mike, if the guy is cheating. Like if you look on Reddit, like
did I make any sound about Carla was saying I didn't. Did I make any noise about this guy? No, I was just talking about how great he was, right?
Yeah, no. So,
you talk,
so I feel like now it's not totally my I know that too. Can't take ownership of this.
You can take ownership in our world.
Yeah, and also absolutely. You always said, even from the word go, that you thought he had figured out a way to game. You always implied
he's hinky.
That there was a way that he was gaming the system. He was better than someone
else
somehow.
What if the thought that we've got Alex Trebek, who is ill. He's fighting. And, you know, people would tune in just to see him and root for him in this manner. But then you compound that with a record-setting run by this guy.
They're all
in. If it's pure and it's real, I sincerely apologize. I'm just saying it's interesting. And and I get, for some reason, the man arouses a little suspicion in me. He really did. But that, you know, I didn't look at the threads on Ken Jennings. Did they say the same thing about Ken Jennings? That maybe he was cheating too?
Most of the threads on Ken Jennings is that he was a dweeb.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah,
but if it's pure and it's real, you know what I was thinking? And I was thinking this. I was thinking this is a great run for Alex Trebek.
Sure.
Too, after this diagnosis, this is a, and by the way, no, it can, I think it can be argued that nobody has handled a horrible cancer diagnosis of pancreatic stage 4 with more class and dignity than Alex Trebek. And I would, you know, if the miracle happens and he's able to beat this thing, which is very, very difficult,
right,
I think it would be just wonderful. And, you know, if he's not, this is, I'm wondering whether Alex has a perspective on it. There's an interesting way that this gentleman is interacting with Alex Trebek that I think is fascinating. So Jeopardy, we're all in every night now.
Sure.
Because it's just so fascinating to watch. But the other contestants that come on the show are just like, how would I describe their demeanor? Most of them just come in and go, how you doing? Great to be here. Yeah, we'll see you at the end of the show.
I'll get my $1,000 consolation prize and I am out of here.
Where's the buffet?
And then, you know, in my neighborhood, in my my television zone, it's Wheel of Fortune before. That's what we
sort of a mental warm up, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So keep your eyes on the guy. And incidentally, when did they release the facts of whether is there anybody jumping the gun after the taping? Obviously, these shows have been put in the can already.
Right.
And this James Holzhauer. But there seem to be some eager beavers out there that I don't know whether they get the show in Newfoundland or something like that. But they go, he did it again. And they're doing it before I see my Jeopardy.
There's studio audience members, of course. But I know that the players have to sign very severe non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah, we had a listener that.
Frumpkin. Josh Frumpkin, I think his name was.
Frumpkus.
Can we book Frumpkin on the show?
Yeah, I'll send an email to him today.
Yeah, please, Josh. We'd like to get Josh on the show. I'd love to talk about James Holzhauer on Monday and find out.
Frumpkin. You know,
because I'm just going to guess that he's going to win tonight.
Yeah.
Because I just think he's so perfect. And I just love to, you know what? I'd love to talk to Frumpkin if he's able to discuss what kind of protocols they have to prevent a guy from doing that, right?
Yeah.
Just to see what's
happening. And also, Mike, strategy. I would like to predict that the yellow contestant will win on Wheel of Fortune tonight, the one in the middle. That's my prediction.
The one in the middle?
Yes, the yellow.
You know, last night the lady had the $1 million card that she took.
You say final. This never happens.
And you know what she won?
What?
36 stinking grand. You know, that's a $36,000. And that you might say, oh, that's a lot of money. That's all they give. No,
that's it.
The top
that's a Prius.
There are 50 different things. Like it's,
she won a Prius.
Yeah.
That's it. So anyway.
You're stinking Prius.
I built a Prius yesterday. I was like, that's pretty expensive for a Prius. Yeah.
You built a Prius? You are so broken.
I have a new name for myself down here in Southwest Florida.
What's that?
My name is Handy Andy.
Hey, look at you.
Who was at... Who is at the Lowe's store at 6:30 in the morning? This guy.
Hey!
And now my family will not be poisoned. We'll come back with that tale right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, hippity hoppity, Easter's on the way.
Yep.
Now I know we don't all have time to go shopping. Or you do, and while you're online to pay, some old people push past you to get a soda by the register.
Okay.
But have no fear. Spring into savings by going to MikeOMaraShow.com. Click on the TMOS Shopping Center banner where you can buy your Easter bonnets at Macy's.com. Candy and decorations at Target.com and Walmart.com. So hop down the bunny trail for your shopping needs today. Now let's head back to the Grand Marshal of our Easter Parade, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Paul Christine, and understand it was really hard for me not to do it. Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
You're very good,
brought to you.
Brought
by Third Love. I love buying bras. No, no, I don't. I don't buy them, but I want to tell you about them. Seriously. Ask any woman. Getting the right size bra seems damn near impossible.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
Mom! Until now. Mom! Thanks to Third Love and their Fit Finder quiz. Just answer a few simple questions and you'll find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women to design bras focused on breast size and shape. So you get a perfect fit and premium feel. They feature lightweight, super thin memory foam cups. Only Third Love has them. Try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. There's a 100% fit guarantee. If after 60 days you don't love it, return it Third Love. We'll wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Carla loves hers, and you are going to love your Third Love bra. Third Love has a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering our listeners 15% off their first order, and you're going to love it. Go to thirdlove.com/TMOS right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/TMOS for 15% off today. All right. So water down here. It's
I didn't even know that Lowe's was open that early.
They opened early because for construction.
Oh, it makes sense. Yeah, that's great.
You see, people do construction, Rob, wake up early to do their work.
I see. Yeah. And what time did you get up today?
I could have texted you when
I got up at 20 minutes after 4, you a-hole.
Why are you yelling? My friend.
No, you're not being a friend.
He gets up super early. Yeah, he gets up very, very early.
Yeah. Yes. To come in and spend time with Chris Freites.
Okay, very good. Yes, absolutely. All right. Come on. It's Friday. Let's be nice.
It is. Yeah, so good anyway. Friday. Yeah, good Friday.
That's right. It's a great
beverage
Friday.
You're drinking? What beverage are you drinking? Do you have a koozie?
No, this is Coke Zero Cherry. And the koozie is my hand.
Jesus, hold your hand up. Jesus.
Yeah.
So
you know that glove purchasing is an issue for me.
OJ.
So now. So ever since you've highlighted this, Mike, and I don't know how the hell we've never noticed before. Now I see Rob holding like everyday things like
soda can. It looks like it's a 6-ounce soda can. Yes,
but then so during the day, because he's here, it's like 2:30, depending on the day. And I'll look around. But if I see him holding like a mouse, like for a computer,
you
can't even see the mouse underneath his hand. It's like he's gliding.
It's like when he applauds on something, I hate it so much because it sounds like two sails slapping together on a windy day in the Caribbean. Thwop, 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 thwop. All right. So anyway, let me tell you what happened. So we got this refrigerator, right? And we get our water from this water dispenser at the grocery store. I forgot what it's called, but
you can fill the bottle. Yeah,
we get big 5-gallon jugs of water because I don't trust the water. And Carla's much less freaky about it than I am. She drinks water out of this refrigerator. We got a refrigerator thing where you stick it in and the water comes out.
And that's filtered too.
And for about 1 million years, we've had that filter light on. I mean, really, like this for at least over a year.
I'm familiar with that light.
And so we've got this thing. It's on. So I watched the hockey game, and that's another story. I'll tell you about the hockey game experience on Xfinity, which just could not ream enough.
Oh,
lick it. But anyway, I'm sorry. I had to say something worse than suck. But I'm watching this light. And I got wound up. I'm drinking a few Diet Dr. Peppers, so I'm up. And occasionally my mind just goes over to, with a holiday weekend, my mind works like this. I'm like, well, I got a couple of down days here. What am I going to do to just be productive?
Right.
And I thought about that refrigerator. I said, you know what? How long has that light been there? Maybe it was a water story on the news. We get lots of water stories down here.
Yeah.
Not about drinking water, but about the water and how horrible it is.
And your algae blooms and your neap tide, all that stuff.
It's just like pour more S water into the river and let it spill out onto Fort Myers Beach, which, by the way, will not be a premium tourist destination in about 10 years because people don't want to swim and poop. Okay.
Well, Mike, it's because all your neighbors are over fertilizing their yards. It's like, relax, pal.
Well, it's fertilizer. It's cow poo. It's all that crap.
Yeah, it's fecal.
Thank you. And so, can I continue, please? Thank you. Drink your soda. So, I'm watching this, and because I'm thinking about water, I said, God, that filter. I said, I never knew. We talk every like 3 months. We'd look at the light and go, hey, it says filter. Do you know where it is? I don't know where it is. Okay, bye bye. And we just walk away, right? And by the way, refrigerators, I think by and large, with these little accoutrements they have on them, they don't make it a walk in the park to find them unless you do a deep dive. I wouldn't have found this thing if I didn't go on the internet. Thank you, YouTube. Yeah. Thank you. So I do a deep dive first to find the filter. And the first one I see is on, I say Whirlpool filter. And I go on YouTube and there's this guy, they're so verbose, these handymen that want to walk you through everything. They want to hear the sounds of their own voices.
Right.
You know, it's just like, okay, hi, my name's Pete, and we got a Whirlpool refrigerator here. Now, I used to have a refrigerator that was not a Whirlpool. It's like, shut the F up and show me where the filter is. And he goes down to the bottom of his refrigerator and presses a button and this little thing pops out. And I said, that looks like an old refrigerator. So it's really not to mine.
I have
so
a Whirlpool as well. Do you have a split door Whirlpool?
Yes, it's a French door.
French door.
It's a French door.
He's very
so
nice.
I do another. I get another one, and I said, that looks like mine. And I finally go in, and I really take a look at inside of my refrigerator, and I see there's this little tube that's enclosed up in the upper right-hand corner of the refrigerator. Yeah. And I'm like, aha!
That's bingo. It. That's and a bingo.
That's a bingo. This is how long. I can't even tell you how long this has taken. We've been, and God knows what particulates and pesticides and pharmaceuticals we've been sucking rodents. Into our bodies. Rodent droppings. Who knows? And so I pull the thing down, and there it is. And I said, well, now on to whether it's the right one or not. Now, I don't want to unscrew the thing or dislodge it, fearing I might have a terrible flood in my refrigerator and, Carla's pre-made salads might get damaged. We wouldn't want that at all. And God knows what would happen to my cheese. So I go on YouTube. I said, where do you find the model number on a refrigerator? And they said the refrigerator is found. I don't think it was a YouTube. It was like just regular information.
Google, yeah.
Can normally be found in the lower on the lower right hand wall next to the crisper, or it can be found on the door, or it can be found. It's like refrigerator companies. Can we have some unified standards?
Standard.
You know.
Well, the problem is with big refrigerator. They're all in competitive. They're competing all the time. So they're trying to do better than the other guy.
I ended up finding it in some weird spot. I don't even remember where it was.
Was it too
so
small convoluted. To read?
It was, yes, it was too small. It was right up on the very, very tippy top when you open the door. So you wouldn't be able to see it unless you open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my camera.
Smart.
And I pressed it. And I took,
technology.
I took a picture of it. It's a, I love technology. So I took my little picture of the Whirlpool thing.
Ooh.
And I get the model number. And then I look up, how to do the replacement for it. And I was off, and I was off to the Lowe's, and I have now successfully, I am drinking water, not from the grocery store. I am drinking delicious tap water that is filtered.
Does it taste coming different?
Not only filtered, but chilled, because it comes through the refrigerating system.
Cold.
Yes.
Well, this is the first little dab that you have to run 5 gallons through the filter before you sample it. And I saved just a tiny bit of it in another glass here. I've been drinking out of my bottled water from the grocery store, and I have another one of these tiny little, you'll see, see that water that's in there? And that's the little sample that I have here. And,
so let's give it a try.
I'm going to take a little sip to see what this is.
Here we go.
This is from my filter
bottle. All right, here we go. Here we go. Mm.
How was it?
It's fine. I've been drinking it all day. It's just a spit take. I just wanted to do a spit take on this show. We have to take a break.
Hey, but you know what, Mike? Something you got to keep in mind.
What's
you got to do a total ice recycle now. Because the ice that's in your bin is from the old filter.
Poop ice.
Yeah. So go
pesticide
ice. Dump it and make yourself some fresh ice.
Yeah. Plus, the big thing now you filter out is pharmaceuticals. So, I'm wondering sometimes if, hey, look at that. I got a boner. Who knows what they have in the water down here. I would imagine those pharmaceuticals.
You are excited about the filter.
Yes, I am. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Barrow Show, everybody.
And the Lord spoke to his people, providing them these 10 commandments. Thou shalt not worship false podcasts. Thou shalt not use the name of Mike in vain. Honor thy father and mother by buying them a TMOS bonus package. Thou shalt not kill Oscar on Facebook. Thou shalt not steal Rob's little sounds. Thou shalt not covet Mike's wife. We pray in the name of Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. Download in peace.
Dan, put down the tablets and take out the trash.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, Dan O'Brien. Come back and visit us sometime.
Yeah, visit would be nice.
What's he been up to? Anybody know what he's been up to, Dan O'Brien?
Still working his cable TV job, isn't he?
Cable TV? I thought he was working at Verizon.
Last I heard, he was doing
Verizon Stats.
I thought he was working on political candidacy or something like that. For Vanjie.
He's just declared his candidacy for president.
You know what? Let's get the man in here.
Little Dan O'Brien. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. Here's some powerful news from Cornerstone First Financial. The economy is softening, and because of that, interest rates are down, down, down. They're the lowest they've been in a full year. Chances are there will be no interest rate hikes this year thanks to inflationary pressure that never happened. Rates are back around 4%. And if you want to get a really, really good rate and deal with people who can help you out and are easy to work with, it's Cornerstone First Financial. Whether you are buying, whether you are refinancing or consolidating debt, Cornerstone guarantees you the lowest rate, and you can work with friends of TMOS who we know personally are good folks, and you can save some dough in the process. They are licensed in California, so we got a lot of listeners out there. Call Cornerstone. We love it, and they love it when we get calls from California for Cornerstone First Financial, and they've helped a lot of people out there. Also, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida. Hey, you Georgia folk. How about you Georgia folk call Cornerstone First Financial, huh? Celebrate the Masters Golf Tournament with a call to our friends at Cornerstone First Financial and say, I saw a lovely, lovely home in a lovely neighborhood that I'd like to put a down payment on and get me a good rate on a mortgage in Georgia.
Good rate on a what?
Mortgage in Georgia, maybe. Or you could call them from Florida and say,
I just got back down here. I want to get a new house.
For some reason, that's my Florida accent.
Or
Colorado. I don't think I have a Colorado.
Hey,
man, I just want to know. These are really good rates, Cornerstone First Financial. I want to see if I can get a good deal. I clicked your banner on the Mike O'Mara Show website, cornerstonefirst.com. And then I decided to call you at 866-625-1221.
Cornerstone.
Thank you.
First Financial. 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial.
Personal attention from application to closing.
There, that was a little extra something for the Friday
Mike,
holiday.
Mike, we're going to submit that one for an Air Award. That was a good spot.
Air Awards.
Yeah, the old Air Awards.
I share this with our hockey fans out there for the purpose of seeing if I'm the only one, if it's my particular cable system down here, or what it is. But I'm a DirecTV guy. I've been a DirecTV guy for a long time. Gave it up because the communists down here bundled my cable with everybody else's. So I have to pay for it whether I want to or not. So I said, well, I might as well go with it because I'm paying for it anyway. And that's how they get you. It's a complete and total disaster for watching hockey. I watch hockey and it goes skate, skate, jump, skate, 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 jump, skate, skate, jump, skate, skate, jump.
Oh, it's so that's total,
such a fast game.
A technology. I thought you were going to be complaining about the coverage. This is a technological thing.
No, this is the cable system.
Oh my God.
That I'm watching, and I do my regular drill with hockey. No matter how big the screen, I pull my little easy chair up as far as I can because I want to see it right up up close so I can follow the puck. I put my I don't use reading glasses when I'm watching television ever, except when I'm watching playoff hockey.
Wow.
Because then I want to make sure I get close every up. Detail. By the way, the Carolina, the sleeping giant Carolina Hurricanes seem to have been wakened up by awakened by the Washington Capitals.
That goal, that quick goal, I was like,
Very difficult, very problematic, but they're coming back to D.C. I still have confidence in our Washington Capitals, but watching the game is ridiculous. It's stutter, 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 stutter. And I watch other shows and I don't seem to notice that. Maybe because the action is much slower and you don't notice the jumping as much as you do with. And I'm curious as to anybody that has the cable system, whether you get the same thing.
Okay, let me
and
ask
I'm
you.
Also, if I wasn't going back north, I would be on the phone right now, and I would finally turn it over to Rob Spiewak and say, just
first,
get me my DirecTV.
Is the ice white?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got like perfect
picture. Well,
what
other color would it be?
Well, if you're having issues with your signal, I don't know if something else is happening.
Well, I think what he has is a some sort of compression issue. That's the speed of the dial. It wouldn't affect the color per se.
Oh my God! This is the motion.
Yes.
The way you're watching it.
Yes.
Okay. There is a.
Thanks for joining us, Oscar.
I was thinking about if you had a signal problem coming to you.
There's a setting.
There's a setting on your TV.
You know what, Oscar? That is so awesome. That is so, so, there's a setting to, what do I press?
So it depends on what you have currently now, but if you, you can get the soap opera effect in sports, depending on your refresh rate. So we can try to figure out like what the best setting would be to watch that. Now, there is an
There are presets. There's probably one called sports.
There is a remote issue if you have a television that doesn't have the right refresh rate.
I got a modern TV. Okay, the one out in my living room is a modern. Okay. I got all modern TVs. Okay. I love TVs.
Pony, do you concur?
As a matter of fact, Donald Trump said Absolutely. You have the best, biggest TV.
I have a very successful television. It's a wonderful television, Oscar. It's very, very big, very powerful, so very strong.
This display, the two displays that we have in here, Mr. President, these displays, if you put them on a certain setting, we could never watch sports on them because it would mess up the actual flow of the game.
That's interesting. Thanks so very much. I appreciate that.
The refresh rate, Mr. President.
No refresh rate, no collusion, total exoneration. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is my god. Countless FBI agents.
Anyway, so you're saying that. Does Pony know what type of setting we're talking about? Well, he doesn't watch sports.
It depends on the television brand. So they have different names for the same thing.
I can walk you through the menu and maybe that'll
help. Well, I can probably, now that you told me there, I can probably work my way through it.
All right.
I can probably figure it out and see what's going on. You know, I mean, it was driving me
absolutely insane. I'm hoping that is the case.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a separate question about hockey that I thought was fascinating?
Yes, go right ahead. It's playoff hockey, everybody.
Off the ice.
I'm watching the game with Rob Ford and our friend Clinton Yates, and we're at the tail end of the game where either the Caps are actually going to even it up or they're going to lose the game.
Very difficult on the quality with the quality of the ice.
I can't imagine. I don't
Lots
know.
Lots of warmth and humidity in Carolina that caused the puck to bounce. At one point, I think it was Kenny Albert said, bouncing like a Super Bowl.
Mike, it was the first game in NHL history where they had a lifeguard.
let's get the penalty call from the referee.
Interference on a very wet ice surface.
Yes, what was your question?
So Clinton, who knows much more about sports than I do, I love watching games of any sport when you have true fans, like fans that are into the game.
Makes it better.
Right?
Carolina fans are out of their minds.
So Clinton at the end of the game was like, just don't let them get that third goal, the open net at the end. Forget it. We lost this game. They're coming home. Like you said, they're coming back. Because the open net, and he was breaking it down for me. He said,
let me explain for people that might not be hockey fans. What Oscar's referring to is that if a team is losing at the end of the game, usually with about 2 minutes or less left in the game, they pull the goalie to get an extra skater out on the ice. They pull the goalie so that they can get an extra man offensively to try to score a desperation goal.
And it leaves their goal unguarded, which is a gamble.
Leaves their goal unguarded and quite often leads to what it is referred to as an empty net goal.
Yes.
There you go. All right, go
so
ahead.
He was, we had 20, 30 seconds. He just kept on yelling. He said, don't let him get the open net or whatever he was. And I said,
right.
What does it matter? If they're going to lose, they lose. At least let him, you know. And he goes, no. Psychologically, he goes, it says 3-1, 2-1. That's a big effing difference. It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, it is. Psychologically, it is. I mean, it's just getting a thumping. It's getting two thumpings in a row.
Right.
But still.
I wanted to get your take on that.
My take on it that the analysts were talking about a little bit after the game with the Capitals is this fan base. You talk about you love watching sports where there's an engaged fan base. Apparently, I don't know the details of the Carolina Hurricanes and the way that they've dealt with their fans, but they have engaged their fans so totally that the fans are super motivated in this playoff season. This is rarefied air for them to have a playoff series in Carolina, and the fans are, I don't believe in all of last year, I ever heard sustained screaming by fans like I have in Carolina in this first series. It is a din that is stunning, and they sustain it for like minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes. And they were talking about the fact that not only does a team that kind of drew an average crowd during the regular season get energized by this in the playoffs, speaking about the Carolina Hurricanes, but it does the same thing, wearing down the opponents like the Capitals. And so it's a big, big deal.
Do you know how Carolina has done this? Do you know how Carolina, a relatively young franchise, has engaged
their
fan base?
I don't. They were just talking about it.
They have their own goat?
They didn't get specific. A lot of these teams, by the way, not to take anything away from Pat Sajak and the Washington Capitals fan base, but I will tell you this. Last year during the finals with the Golden Knights, where they were bringing out, all these Vegas
superstars,
people.
Yeah.
Superstars, and they were having nights for, jousting.
Oh, the Golden Knights pre-show looked like, pregame, it looked like a motion picture spectacular.
And then they come back to Washington and they wheel out Pat Sajak. And it's like, hi, how you doing, fans? Yeah, and everybody's just like, what?
What?
Apparently.
What? Is that the Wheel of Fortune guy?
What? So
why is the Wheel of Fortune guy on the ice? What?
Where are our jousters?
He doesn't look like an athlete. He doesn't look. He looks like an old man that hosts a game show.
He doesn't look like an athlete. So. What?
I mean, really? And didn't we say when that happened? It's like
worried.
If you're going to do something, bring out Vanna.
Yeah.
Now
something.
I'm watching.
Yeah.
So they a lot of these markets, and the only one I can say is Tampa. I went up the road to Tampa and watched them put on a show. But they do a lot of bells and whistles for the fans to make it more than just the game itself.
Playoffs.
And the Capitals are kind of conservative that way, I think. Well, I haven't been to a Capitals game in a while.
The D.C., the town of D.C. as a sports town has a reputation as really not going the extra mile for the fan.
To be fair, none of us here have been to, I guess, the experience for the last playoff run that led to a Stanley Cup championship.
This is true.
So
we were going to go last year.
They would have gone to that. What is it? The game seven?
Yeah.
It was six. In D.C. I had my flight booked.
So I think a lot has changed. I think a lot has changed for what D.C. offers their fans now.
Oh, by the way, can I congratulate the Junkies on getting their Stanley Cup rings?
Pretty cool, right?
The Junkies got Stanley Cup rings. I wanted to share that. Sorry. Sorry, JP. Sorry,
Mike.
Thanks. Sorry, Lurch. Sorry, EB.
To be fair, you're not a big jewelry guy.
Dagger. All those years. Season ticket holder. Anyway, just had to say that.
I understand.
Had to get out of there. When I read that, I was just like, sometimes there's jealousy and then there's
jealousy. jealousy. The Junkies didn't know hockey before me.
Anyway, sorry. No, I think Cakes was a fan. I think Cakes was
a fan. Yeah, die hard.
I think he was, yeah. Cakes was a big fan, in fairness to him.
Anywho.
So you're saying it's a better presentation now for DC. Yeah.
Whoa, my head. What? So we've solved the problem about Xfinity. The Capitals have to be wary, but I would think in all probability they're a great hockey team that they should come back. There's one little factor, and this is almost like the James Halsauer thing. I just want to go on the record. If something bad happens, if they don't get it done in this first round, I think you might want to look at the coach situation. I think you might look at the fact that you win a 40-year drought Stanley Cup. You get the Stanley Cup to Washington, D.C., where it's never been. And 2 days after, they say to their coach, Barry Trotz, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. I think that's a problem. I think it's always been a problem. And I look at that, that stretched out version of the guy from The Office behind the bench for the Capitals. And I wonder if he's getting it done as far as the old motivation is concerned. But it's still the greatest sport to watch. It really is. And, hey, man, the Vegas Golden Knights are in a series, too. So it's I like playoff hockey. I really enjoy. Ethan, is Ethan still there?
Yes,
we didn't talk about hockey. Ethan, the sport that has always been associated with the White Devil, the sport of NHL hockey. I'm curious how you like that one.
Repeat, would you just say one more time, Mike? He was switching headsets.
A please would be nice.
Please.
What?
You said
you're not hanging on every word. What were you doing? What were you doing while we're doing the show?
We have in the control room, we have three headsets, but two of them have microphones. Yes. So he had to switch from one that had a microphone.
Well, was he listening to what I said though?
But during the switch is where he lost the actual question. Yes.
I was wondering if you liked the sport of the White Devil, the sport of NHL hockey.
I can enjoy the good white sport.
Did now, Mike, we've lost your audio.
Did you? Hello? Hello? Did we drop?
No, we're connected. Did you hit a button?
Hit a button. No?
Is your LR button in? You can hear us, right? Okay.
Yeah, you can hear us. Okay,
but we're not hearing you.
We're connected.
We are connected.
Looks good. No one pushed anything on that side. Did you guys push anything on the other side of the...
Nope.
Okay, you're fine. Well... Now that we know that Ethan's into the white sports.
Exactly. It's plural now?
Yeah.
The white sports.
We can talk about all of them.
Okay, appreciate that.
We'll need a list.
Why don't we do this?
So take a break?
Take a break.
I think that's a good idea.
And when we get back, we'll have the full team.
And we'll get your take on hot issues of the day.
Yes.
Because it's next.
Oscar's take.
Oscar's take coming up right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Tell me, do you think it'd be?
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Hi, Carla.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Carla. Lots
we're
of stuff
about
to dream.
Dreams and nightmares.
Okay.
You're a huge dreamer, aren't you?
I am. I dream a lot.
She dreams. Come up closer to the microphone.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Sorry, we have to get a better system.
What do you dream about, Carla?
Dream. You know, I dream that. Oh, I better not. Never mind.
You can say anything you want.
It's a bonus show.
What was the last bad dream you had?
It was about you.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for coming by. We appreciate that. Thank you.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show, because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Bonus.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. I love my Sleep Number bed. That's a fact. Maybe you've considered a Sleep Number bed, but thought you couldn't afford one. Hey! Can you really afford another restless night's sleep? There's never been a better time to save on proven quality sleep. Now, during the Ultimate Sleep Number event, a Queen 360 smart bed starts at only $899. $899. So many couples disagree on mattress firmness. Sleep Number lets both of you choose your ideal firmness. That's a big deal. Firmness matters, people. It truly, truly does. The Sleep Number 360 smart beds are so smart, they sense your every move and automatically adjust to you so you sleep comfortably throughout the night. Plus, Sleep Number has been ranked highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. For 2018 award information, just visit jdpower.com. My Sleep Number setting, 90. Carla's, 65. We don't agree on Sleep Number settings, but we agree that we're comfortable and we love it. Come in during the Ultimate Sleep Number event and save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. I love Sleep Number, love the company, proud to be associated with them. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/TMOS to find the one nearest you. And when you do, tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. That's plenty of copy. Woo! And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
A review and comment on the news of the day that only our Bolivian bloviator can do. The views expressed by Oscar Santana in no way in no way represent the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or the right-thinking people of the United States. And now, Oscar's take.
Oscar's take!
Oscar Jason Momoa.
Yes.
Aquaman.
Yes. Dreamboat.
He shaved his
face.
What did he shave?
He shaved his face for the first time since 2012. He did it in a YouTube video to bring awareness to recycling and the need to switch from plastic bottles to aluminum cans. I didn't see Aquaman. I know of Jason Momoa. I'm strangely fascinated by him. And I watched the video of him shaving his
face.
It was interesting. What say you?
Gentlemen, the guy's an Adonis.
I just bit my tongue.
Any blood?
No.
Good.
All right.
Man's an Adonis. He gets a lot of flack for being in what is generally the least, I guess, gritty superhero movie out there. Like, I like CGI. It's over CGI'd.
In the Hall of Justice, face it.
Yes.
Aquaman, a pretty weak offering.
Yes. That said, the big deal that people make about people shaving their face.
My face.
It's really not a problem for an actor. It's a problem. It was weird when Ovi did it, but then you realize he got paid $10 million from Gillette. You get that. Fine.
Right.
But for him, I think he's reading his own press. Like, really not that big a deal. I'm happy he's looking out for the guppies and the turtles, but not a big deal. Not Thank a big deal. Much. He's not that relevant.
Okay. You're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, Lori Loughlin's daughter, Isabella.
Oh, this is so nice.
Oh, Isabella. You cheated to get in the USC. You're not as bright as me. Isabella.
She reportedly received a letter from federal prosecutors. Oh, wait, hold on.
Oh, federal
from prosecutors. Federal prosecutors. God damn it. So much going on here. Too loud!
I don't
wait
know,
a
Mike.
Minute, where is that?
It's a federal prosecutor. That merits some volume.
Yeah, some volume.
Volume, 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 volume.
My microphone's not that loud. Jeez. Anyway, she got a letter from federal prosecutors saying they know she participated in the scam that got her into USC. It's not clear if they plan to charge her or if they're not, or they're just trying to scare her parents into settling.
Okay, it's interesting that you brought this up because this, outside of the fraud, the mail fraud charges that you've got the facing roughly 40 years as a family.
40 years.
40 years. I think even at this point, if the prosecution is trying to threaten the children of these families,
right?
I think that, Mike, this goes back to my original thought where some of these families with the 13 that held out and didn't plea, they know something the prosecution doesn't. Because if they're going after the kids,
yeah,
like they just continue to add pressure and they're not folding.
And they're trying to get them to fold.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, I don't think they are. We'll have to stay tuned. Yeah. We'll have to stay tuned. Yeah. I don't think they're bright enough to know that. I think they might be hoodwinked by a crooked lawyer who just wants to go to trial.
A sweaty That's lawyer? Is he crooked and sweaty?
A sweaty.
Like in the movies.
Yeah. Right.
You're listening to Oscar's
Take. Oscar's Take.
Oscar, top 5 Easter candies. They always put these out here, and I always succumb to them because they put these in these prep services because DJs are fat.
That's right.
That's why. Number of top 5, Reese's peanut butter eggs. Rob was talking about them.
I put them in the freezer. Pastel, and then I tried them.
Pastel, did you? How did you like?
Well, I'll tell you when I'm done. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, they're in the freezer now?
No, I actually did. When we talked about it on air, I was like, I got to try these eggs again because everybody seems to be raving about them. Put them in the freezer, popped them in my mouth. Absolutely loved them. I love them.
Okay. Pastel colored M&Ms.
Okay. I have a problem with these M&Ms because I know that it's in my head that the green M&M or the red M&M are better than the rest.
Sure.
But the pastel M&Ms.
We're almost at the finish line.
They scream fake M&Ms. My mom used to buy fake M&Ms.
I agree with you on that, by the way. I agree totally with you on
and
that.
And they come with a name like Chocolate Jots?
Yes. Yeah. So she used to buy them, and I'm like, these aren't M&Ms, Ma.
Yeah, so when they change the color, you think you're getting fake.
Yes.
It's fixed.
Jelly Belly Beans. Jelly Belly Jelly Beans.
You can't go wrong with Jelly Belly Beans. You just can't. They're absolutely fantastic, and they are Easter.
Hershey's Chocolate Bunnies.
I always had an issue that most of these bunnies don't have. I mean, they're hollow on the inside.
Yes, emotionally hollow.
Well, you know, your brother's doing everything in his power not to steal your thunder here because you know he wants to comment.
He's like,
on
oh,
all
I
these.
Just had one this morning. No, a chocolate bunny should be solid. That's the only way they count.
All right, and Cadbury cream eggs.
Not a fan at all. Gross.
Me neither.
Yuck.
Rob neither.
No.
Three of us hate them.
Yuck.
But they made the top 5. Here are the 5 people hate the most. Marshmallow Peeps, generic jelly beans, coconut nests. What the hell are coconut nests? I don't know. Bubblegum eggs. Boo.
Boo.
And candy-covered Jordan almonds. No, Jordan almonds is a solid candy.
I disagree. And
I've never had a
here.
Jordan almond.
Jordan almonds used to sit in the display case at a movie theater so long that the box would fade. Say no to Jordan Almonds.
Yeah, all right. You're listening to Oscar.
Oscars take Jordan Almonds.
Oscar, the ripple effect of Tiger Woods' shocking win at the Masters last weekend just keeps going. Before the Masters started, a 25-year-old guy named Trey Little in Dallas, Texas, made a deal with his pregnant 39-year-old fiance, Denise Coleman. Ooh, a 25-year-old dude, 39-year-old lady.
Yeah, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Here's the deal. If Tiger somehow wins, they'd name their son Tiger, and they even signed a contract.
Hey.
Well, Tiger pulled it off, and Trey says they're going to stick with the deal. Quote, "We both wanted a unique name, and I've always been a huge golf fan. Denise is due in September." Do they know if it's a boy or a girl? I don't know. Oh, yeah. They know it's going to be a boy. So the boy's name will be Tiger.
If it was a girl, would it be Tigress?
Would it be terrible? I mean, we don't wish birth defects on anybody.
No.
Wouldn't it be amazing? It's like, his name is Tiger. He has a tail!
Mike, is that a defect or an advantage?
Yeah, you never know.
In the world of crazy names, Tiger is a cool name.
Sure.
That is a cool name. And can you imagine, even if like you're not the best at sports or you don't excel in anything, the idea that you could have a friend in your squad and his name is Tiger, I'll take that all day.
Yeah.
It's a leg up in life.
And Tiger, by the way, if his name is Little and his wife's name is Coleman or fiance, he could be... He could be Tiger Little Coleman, and it would be TLC for short.
That's true.
I think ahead of these things. That's
Tiger Spiewak would not work.
And Mike, if you really had a, Tiger Spiewak. Child that was Little Coleman, it would have to be named Jeremy.
Jeremy Coleman.
The littlest that's Coleman.
Old program yes. director. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take. Yes.
Finally, today, Oscar, delirious kids collapsed at a high school after eating pot brownies brought in by a 16-year-old girl. Police quizzed the teenager after her friends began hallucinating at Shirley High in South London. Staff called ambulances and police after being told the teenagers ate super strength skunk brownies.
Oh.
The 16-year-old girl who had baked them at home is thought to have been one of six students taken to the hospital. Officers are investigating and question the girl, who is unlikely to be expelled. For the pot brownie. I'm surprised at that. In America, she'd probably be booted.
I'm actually shocked that this is such a big deal, because while they're kids, I feel like marijuana overall, and Mike, this probably happened last 2 years, it's become more accepted.
Mainstream.
But the edibles are still a place where they look like they're fun, but they could rock your world. Rock
really?
Your world.
So you eat the wrong caramel and you might be floating over the world.
I had a grizzly brownie the night before our live show in Vegas because I asked my wife to get me something to sleep. I didn't want to take any medicine. I just wanted to take a pop brownie. And she brought me something back that looked like I was going to hibernate. I took the grizzly brownie and it gave me night terrors. Like, I almost didn't sleep
that
night.
That's why I don't want to go near that THC stuff, you know?
Oh. Night terrors.
Oh, my God. Well, now we know that Oscar ate a pop brownie in Vegas last year. That's Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen. We will take a break. When we come back, it is the final Audio Vault of the Week with Mr. Rob Spiewak, and hopefully I won't press any buttons on the board anymore. We'll be right back.
This week on The Real Interns of Podcast Village...
Hey guys, it's Ethan. Yeah, I know, shocking. I can do promos too. They've had all the other interns on TMOS, and everyone's getting high praise. They only work 2 days a week. Wait, no, that's just Johnny. Dolly and Allison don't even work 2 days a week, and Johnny finally got a haircut and some new AirPods. Now Dolly and Allison can't keep their hands off of him. He stole my look, my airtime, and my spotlight. I haven't even left yet, and I'm already being replaced. What is going on here? I'm supposed to be Adobe Suite, but I'm starting to get a little sour.
Follow the interns at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Shopping Center. Let me see if I've got... Do you have music for
this?
I do.
All
right. Let's hit the music, please. Bonjour!
Hello!
Vive le marché le mirage shopping boutique! Ça, c'est bon! Si, c'est bon! Très bon! Voulez-vous acheter les things? Les things très belles. Ouh là là, s'il vous plaît. Utilisez le Mako Mirage au shopping boutique. Voilà. MichaelMereshow.com. Voila Walmart. Voila Target. Voila it Macy's. Le. Oh. Du fromage? Oui. Du vin? Oui. French toast? Yep. Oui, the Mike O'Mer TMOA Shopping Center has it all, so use it. Parlez-vous les blah, 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 merci.
Mike, Shannon requested a French commercial. So that's why we got a French commercial.
Bonjour, Shannon. Bonne voulez-vous.
Okay, oh, there you
I'm
go.
Sorry
thank
about
you.
That. All right, let's appreciate it. Hold on it. Thank you.
I am a definite Sesame Street kid, and I always like the fact that through the years, Sesame Street has stayed hip. I always remember that Stevie Wonder sang Superstition on Sesame Street. So it's been cool through the years. No exception now. Ooh. Sesame Street just released a Game of Thrones video with, is it pronounced Cersei?
Cersei.
Yes. Cersei and Tyrion and a guest.
Tyrion.
I only want what's best for Westeros.
And I only want for you to not get what you want.
See? This is why you don't have any friends.
Excuse Elmo.
Who are you?
Elmo.
Oh, Elmo is Elmo of Sesame Street. Elmo thinks that you two need to respect each other.
If we stop fighting and work together, we can be stronger. I'm willing to learn and listen if you are.
I can try.
Start.
A toast to our new red friend.
Oh, yummy! Elmo loves toast! Yay!
And the beautiful thing about it, it's shot on the set of Game of Thrones.
It is?
On film. It looks like an episode of Game of Thrones.
All right, you. I'm going to make a request. I think you would love it, and I think you're pig-headed when it comes to your television viewing.
Tonight.
And I think you would love Game of Thrones.
Tonight, I will crack a few and watch the first episode of this season. I will.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't think there's any reason at all why he needs to go back and look. You can completely... It's big, bad zombie guys trying to take
over.
Over the world.
I will,
that's
absolutely.
That's what it's about. And dragons and all that
one. The Sesame Street made me want to do it.
Touch
my buttons.
I think more than any other season, you can pick up on, because you have all the same little battles and stuff like that.
And if you want to, you can go back after. If you enjoy these episodes.
Well, they're all on demand, so I can do that. Now, this is the second time this week in the Audio Vault we turn our focus to Scotland. There's this old lady, and she's mad because her neighbor's van is blocking the sun from getting into her living room. So what she does is at 2 a.m, she gets huge speakers and faces them at the neighbor's house and plays a song at top volume to annoy them. This is sort of a good story. She eventually got fined. The song she chose is so annoying, and it goes back almost 100 years. This is a 1922 song called Laughing Policeman by Charles Jolly, and she played this over and over and over again at top volume.
I know a fat old policeman, he's always on our street. A fat and jolly red-faced man, he really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman, he's never known to frown. And everybody
wait for the hook.
He is the happiest man in town.
Morning. She received a citation. So.
That's funny. I like
it's been I can't believe how long it's been that The Sopranos had their last episode, but I think it's the anniversary. I think it's the 15th, maybe.
Wow.
And Steve Perry was talking about he did not want to let them use the Journey song in the last episode. He wouldn't sign off on the publishing unless, well, he had his rule.
I was the one that was holding out and approving that song only because I did not want to see the whole family get whacked. Because it was the last one, it was all hush-hush and very tight. I told my publisher, I said, I won't say yes unless you get a phone call from somebody in David Jase's office or David himself. 4 o'clock, she calls me. She says, okay, you have to swear not to tell nobody. I said, I promise. She tells me how it ends. Did not tell me they went to black. Because I like the rest of the country when it went to black. I mean, what happened to my TV?
That's a good story.
I love that. Cool. And also remember when it happened, we spoke
to an incredibly disappointing finale.
One of the worst.
A pun.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pun. I totally agree with you.
But if you really want to know the status of Journey as an entity, when we called Ross Valerie from Journey the next day, he didn't know that the song was going to be in the episode. Wow. So yeah. Steve Perry just sort of did an end around Ross Valerie. You know, yeah, amazing. You so that's what's going on there. Are you familiar with the term seasteading?
Seasteading?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Is it like homesteading?
A little bit. What happens is you buy a house that lives in the water and you set it up in international waters, and that way you're your own government, which is all well and good, except now this guy, he's the first guy to do it. Of course, he's a Bitcoin millionaire, and he buys from a company, and he sets up this. It looks like a huge white 400-yard-wide barrel 12 miles off the seas of Thailand, off the shores of Thailand, and now...
So like a houseboat?
No, because it's stationary. It's somehow anchored to the ocean floor, and he is now a marked man, and his family fears for his life.
But he lives on it? Does he live on it?
He lives on it 12 miles off the coast of Thailand. And, of course, I'll say it once again, Bitcoin millionaire.
Oceanfront property at a fraction of the cost any other place you would get oceanfront property. So we're beginning something completely brand new. It's going to grow bigger and bigger. So the whole seasteading concept will be better governance, smart systems, as opposed to all the gridlock and horrible systems that current governments have. They have a monopoly on land.
And all the pot you can smoke.
Exactly. And the thing when he says oceanfront property.
What a douche.
No, you're in the middle of nowhere. That's not property, you idiot. Dummy. All right. We'll close with this. I'm back and forth on Pete Davidson. I like him in this because he's on a tour now promoting Mortal Kombat 11, the video game. But he's very clear as to why he's doing it, because he's being paid to do it. He's not even trying to cover the fact that it's a pure and total shill. Here's Pete Davidson talking about how great Mortal Kombat 11 is.
They are paying me to be here to talk about it.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm trying to get a helicopter to Coachella. So, they were like, do you like this game? I was like, sure. It's actually really sick. So there's this guy, Johnny Cage.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Cage.
Yeah, so he does splits and punches you in the is his special move.
That's one of his moves. He just looks like
everybody I grew up with in Staten Island, so I just kill that dude. I enjoy killing him. Also, he has a hot daughter, which is like weird because like I'm lonely and she's like not real. there's that in the video game as well. Sexual confusion.
Yeah, so if you want sexual confusion, go and grab Mortal Kombat 11. That's your magic audio. Well, have a great weekend. Happy Easter.
I'm coming around on that guy. Yeah. I'd like to see his stand-up. That's it. Another one in the can. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you have a message you'd like to hear in our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We love your yaks. 888-920-MORE, 888-920-6673. Send us your yaks. Just leave a message on our machine, especially over a holiday weekend.
Oh, yeah.
A really bad time of it. We'd love to hear from you. And we need more cities for the opening. We'll do another brand new one on Monday. We'd love to hear your city. Like I mentioned in the front of the show, just send it along, and we will put it on for you. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Thank God it's Friday!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on its feet here. He's a Cinderella boy.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
Wait! Where are you going?
I was going to make espresso.
Give me-